This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sian Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Well, we're here at the Legarten Institute in our library, and we're interviewing Dag Detha, who has written a wonderful book, The Public Wealth of Nations. And we're looking at his thesis that governments have tremendous assets that are not realized, that they don't manage properly, and that as a consequence, wealth is being lost out of the economy. And the amount, the scale of this wealth that's being lost out of the economy is has made a number of people, has turned a few heads in terms of the scale of it. So I wanted to talk to Dag about his book and about his thesis for how governments, particularly the UK government, can take this work and realize more value in their assets. And there seems to be a difference between the private economy, where we're seeing all kinds of shared economy models, and you can talk a little bit about that, versus the state economy, where the government economy, where very old world ways of dealing with assets are embraced. And as a result of that, tremendous value is lost for society. So tell us a little bit about your work, your thesis, and how you see this difference between what's going on in the private sector in terms of increased competition and what's happening in the government sector.
Thank you. Well, most of us are keeping up a lot of assets, very much thanks to the Uber economy. And we have houses or apartments that we are able to keep, thanks to that when we're not using them for summer breaks, etc., we are renting them out and can actually make a profit and make it possible for us to stay in an apartment or a house that we really can't afford. Same thing probably with, you know, a lot of people who have cars are able to keep those cars, even if it's not really affordable, and they maybe do not need them that much, but sidelining as an Uber driver, they are able to maintain the car, which is a great luxury and a great help for a family. And same thing, I mean, people with lots of children, we buy a lot of clothes and toys and everything, and when we don't need them anymore, at least, you know, many of us, our kids make a good profit by selling. Well, it's not a profit, but at least they do it quite economically by selling off these things that they don't need anymore on eBay. So Uber, Airbnb, and eBay has helped the people, you and me, to maintain a lifestyle that which we might not be able to sustain otherwise.
Right. So, in the private sector, you're seeing the more of a consumer-led orientation. So, in terms of economics, it's more of a consumer-led orientation rather than a producer-led orientation, where people are using their assets, they are using them efficiently, and therefore developing wealth and creating prosperity for the whole economy and for all of society. Uber and Airbnb are great examples of that. What do you see happening at the government level? I mean, you talked about the huge volume of assets that governments control. How do you see that, the government, taking what's going on in the private sector and what's going on with technology and just efficient use of assets? What can the government do with its assets to realize the same efficiencies and create wealth?
Well, I for one, I'm very grateful to Airbnb because that, you know, gives us an extra income and many other people an extra income by renting out our flat when we don't need it. And we are extremely aware, and thanks to Airbnb, we are extremely aware that we have a flat that we can use and to supplement an income. But you know, most governments or all governments really don't know what assets they own. It's not even the departments of most governments know what assets they have. And if a private person would tell the tax services that they don't know what assets they have, they would probably go to jail. But governments around the world, they get away with this, which is both strange from their shareholders, which are the taxpayers, that they don't know what they own. But it's also strange that they are not using this more efficiently.
Right. So the first step is to get a handle on what you actually own.
Yes.
And once you have that, this is very much part of, you know, the protection of property rights. This is, first of all, understanding what you own and then being able to use that property in the way that you use your flat through Airbnb to generate value and create wealth and create prosperity. Governments can do the same thing. But first of all, they have to understand what they own, and then they need to manage what they own in ways that are more efficient. Here in Britain, we have a number of government departments that own lots of property, that own lots of other assets. One of the government departments that or government institutions here in the UK that is much beloved is the National Health Service. There are all kinds of problems associated with the National Health Service. How do you think your ideas on asset management, you know, at the level of something like the NHS, can be used to create more efficiencies, create more value, create more wealth, and therefore lead to a much better product for the people of this country?
Well, anybody with a large amount of assets would be very grateful if they could get a yield out of it and not just be a cost to the family. I mean, I have a son who is about to leave to university, and of course that would call for, you know, selling the flat and downsizing, because there's no need to have such a bigger flat. But of course, if by using Airbnb, we could make it work. And that would mean that he has a place to stay when he comes home for holidays. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's exactly the same. Why I would do anything to avoid selling the flat. And the same thing goes for government departments like the NHS, mm-hmm. who are, you know, very rich in assets, but probably, I mean, we don't know how much of a cost that is. And certainly most departments don't have a positive yield on those assets. So by managing it better, of course, that would create enormous gains for the people that need the services of the NHS.
I must ask you one question before we close on your work on cities and the idea that cities also control tremendous numbers of assets and, again, do not necessarily always know what they control and don't use those assets efficiently and so forth. And we had a conversation a while ago about cities that are going bankrupt. And there is an analogy here, obviously, with the NHS and with other institutions that are under tremendous financial pressure. Cities are under tremendous financial pressure as well. We've seen Detroit, we've seen San Bernardino, California, we've seen Stockton, California go bankrupt. How would you apply your ideas to at the city level?
It's perfectly similar. I mean, everybody wants to avoid going bankrupt. But of course, if you don't know what you own, it's very difficult to get a higher efficiency out of those assets. And that's the problem with cities as well. And you have cities that are managing this extremely well, like a place like Hong Kong and Singapore. Mm-hmm. You have a company like MTR, which is a mm-hmm. publicly owned company. They are making as much from developing the properties that they own, the stations, etc., than from their operations. And they are one of the biggest property developers in Hong Kong, developing new territories, new residential areas that would be the envy of the UK. And we could learn a lot from a place like Hong Kong and from MTR how to develop new residential areas while also improving infrastructure.
Right, and MTR is a great example because they're putting telecommunication services through their networks and so forth. They're really using the property that they have and really using the network that they have in all kinds of different areas. So what's the first step then for if you were brought in by the NHS and the NHS said to you, you know, we have all these assets, we're under tremendous financial pressure, DAG, help us. What's the first thing that we should do? What are the in terms of understanding our assets, and then how can we apply some of this thinking
You would do exactly the same as if you were a private person. Let's say you happen to inherit something from a long-lost aunt that you didn't know of. You have to do an asset scan. I mean, you have to understand, what do we really have here? Because the people who have been managing, they know much more than you do.
Right.
So when you're coming in, you want to find out, you want to get a map of the landscape. Mm-hmm. And that is the most essential thing. And that map should be not only the list of the assets, mm-hmm. but also its market value. Mm-hmm. So that you can understand, how can I use this in the best way? Because just like a family, you want to use your assets so that it helps the family have a nice life. Mm-hmm. Or the good life that you want to give your children.
Mm-hmm.
And a state or a city wants to give its citizen a good life. So, you know, or the city or the state or the NHS should look over its assets to see how can we use them as efficiently as possible. And operational efficiency is not going to be good enough, because then you're going to be selling off assets at the wrong price, and that will not benefit the individual who needs the help of the NHS or the state or the city.
Right, right. So, and so much of this debate about operationalizing things is very much privatization versus state ownership, and it's very much an ownership debate. But what we've seen over the last several decades is that the real issue is unleashing competitive forces, and not so much who ownership obviously matters, but the real issue is has the privatization or whatever process it is unleashed the forces of competition. Part of that is protecting the property right, understanding the property right, and allowing people to use the property right in the same way that Uber and Airbnb and so on, they allow people to use their property rights. How would you transfer that across to something like the NHS, assuming that they've taken your first piece of advice and they've got their hands around what it is they actually own? What next? What's the next step in order to take those property rights and start to use them in a more efficient way, to allow competition to function?
Well, I mean, on the personal level, we are seeing this all the time, and we can have another example: Netflix.
Yeah.
I love movies.
Mm.
No other comparison with the NHS, but I used to buy all those videos. I don't. I use Netflix, and for a fraction of the sum, I get to enjoy the same service as if I owned it. So ownership, I mean, I think we need to take ownership out of the equation and see how can we use the assets that we have and avoid the discussion about ownership. So not have a knee-jerk reaction of privatizing anything we find, but actually see, can we use this more efficiently?
Yep.
Can we be clever with these assets? And that is what every family does. My grandmother would understand this better than any economist or professional, a banker, etc. This is common sense.
Right, right. And so at the end of the day, it's all about efficiency and managing your assets in an efficient way. Dagdetter, thank you very much
for
coming to Legatum and talking to us about your book and about your ideas for government institutions.
Thank you.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.